Translation. Lord Brahma and all the predominating deities of the various planetary systems began to worship Lord Vamanadeva, their supreme master, who had reduced himself from his all-pervading form to his original form. They collected all the ingredients and paraphernalia for this worship. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Vamanadeva first expanded himself to the universal form and then reduced himself to the original Vamana Rupa. Thus he acted exactly like Lord Krishna, who at the request of Arjuna first showed his universal form and later resumed his original form as Krishna. The Lord can assume any form he likes, but his original form is that of Krishna, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. According to the capacity of the devotee, the Lord assumes various forms so that the devotee can handle him. This is his causeless mercy. When Lord Vamanadeva resumed his original form, Lord Brahma and his associates collected various paraphernalia for worship with which to please him. Texts number 6 and 7. Toya samarhanai shradhir divya gandhanu leipanai dupar dipar surabhi bhir la jakshuta phalankurai stavanair jaya shabdaischa hudbirya mahimankitai nritya vaditra gitaischa shankadundubhini swanai. They worship the Lord by offering fragrant flowers, water, paja and argya, sandalwood pulp and a guru pulp, incense, lamps, fused rice, unbroken grains, fruits, roots, and sprouts. While so doing, they offered prayers indicating the glorious activities of the Lord and shouted, Jai, Jai. They also danced, played instruments, sang, sounded conch shells, and beat kettle drums, in this way worshiping the Lord. Jambavan Riksha Rajastu Heri Shabdher Mano Javaha Vijayam Dikshu Sarvasu Mahotsavam Agoshayat. Jambavan, king of the bears, also joined in the ceremony. Sounding his bugle in all directions, he declared a great festival for Lord Vamanadeva's victory. So Jambavan's a bugler. Prabhupada liked the bugle. Hayagriva used to play the trumpet, of course. Prabhupada called it a bugle. Prabhupada liked it very much. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitamena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Ramadayo Lokanataha Swanataya Samadritaha Sanuga Volim Ajaruhu Sankshiptatma Vibhutaye. Lord Brahma and all the predominating deities of the various planetary systems began to worship Lord Vamanadeva, their supreme master, who had reduced himself from his all-pervading form to his original form. They collected all the ingredients and paraphernalia for this worship. When I was chanting the verse, I was thinking of Mahavishnu Maharaj, who just passed away. When he was here, I remember he emphasized the chanting of the Sanskrit correctly, and he made sure we said the ahas and the uhus and the ihis, the aspirated h's at the ends of the words. So I was thinking of that today as I was chanting it. Nataha. He always did it like that. So today we're hearing about Lord Vamanadeva. Well, we've been hearing about Lord Vamanadeva's showing a universal form. It's been going on for a number of verses. I think it began back in this is text 21 in the previous chapter. The unlimited supreme personality of Godhead Vamanadeva, who had assumed the form of who had assumed the form of Vamana, then began increasing in size acting in terms of the material energy until everything in the universe was within his body. So then it goes on, and we hear a description of all the things that went on there. Kaliapani gave class on this verse, and I remember he pointed out that it says here, in terms of the material energy. So this universal form of the Lord, it's actually a display of Krishna's material energy. And it's quite awesome. In Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna sees it, he just becomes overwhelmed. But there are quite a few interesting points about this universal form. Vishra, it's called the Vishwarupa. Of course, Vishra means universe, so Vishwarupa, universal form. Or Virat Rupa. Virata means, Prabhupada translates it as gigantic. So gigantic is a bit of an understatement in this case, but what else can you say? As big as you can think of. So what's big? Gigantic. So certainly gigantic, of universal proportions. So Virat Rupa, or simply the universal form. There's an important verse about the universal form in the third chapter, first canto. That chapter has the incarnations of the Lord. That's where this verse appears that Prabhupada quoted in the purport, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Ete chang sakala pungsa Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. So there's a list of avatars, one after the other. And then at the end of the list it says, so these are all portions and plenary portions of the Lord, but Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then in text number 30 of that verse, we have Etarupam Bhagavato Hyarupasya Chiratmanaha Mayagunair Virachitam Mahadadi Vir Atmani. The conception of the Virat, universal form of the Lord, as appearing in the material world, is imaginary. It is to enable the less intelligent and neophytes to adjust to the idea of the Lord's having form, but actually the Lord has no material form. So we might get a little bewildered about this. Well, how can it be imaginary? Lord Vamanadeva actually showed it. Well, the point is that it's not one of his eternal forms. It's a... we hear different things about it, but it's a conception for meditation. We can look at the universe and we can meditate on, because we want to think of God as something great, so we can see him as the universe. And Krishna can also display that greatness, or Vamanadeva displayed that greatness. So it is his form and it's not his form. Idam hi Vishvam Bhagavan Ivetara. God is this universe and God is different from this universe at the same time. So we'll see in discussing the universal form how this idea comes out. So this verse, the verse I just read from the third canto, this is the purport, or at least some of it. The conception of the Lord known as the Vishwarupa or the Virat Rupa is particularly not mentioned along with the various incarnations of the Lord, because all the incarnations of the Lord mentioned above are transcendental, and there is not a tinge of materialism in their bodies. Interestingly, in one of the purports in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says that this form is transcendental but not eternal. So I think in that sense he means transcendental in a different way. It means just like the word divyam. In fact, Krishna says, I give you divine eyes, divya. So divyam can mean transcendental in the sense of spiritual, but it can also mean higher, like in the abode of the devas, divyam. These words are related. Devi, daiva, divyam. So it can be transcendental, you might say, not in the spiritual sense, but in a higher sense. Just like sometimes the demigods are called immortal. Well, they're not really immortal, but from our perspective, they're immortal. So in any case, Prabhupada says it all here in this purport. He says that all the other incarnations are transcendental and there's not a tinge of materialism in their bodies. And he goes on, there is no difference between the body and self as there is in the conditioned soul, body and self of the Krishna and the avatars. The Virat Rupa is conceived for those who are just neophyte worshippers. For them, the material Virat Rupa is presented as it will be explained in the second canto. In the Virat Rupa, the material manifestations of different planets have been conceived as his legs, hands, etc. Actually, all such descriptions are for the neophytes. The neophytes cannot conceive of anything beyond matter. The material conception of the Lord is not counted in the list of his actual forms. So there are all the incarnations. Then it ends, and then after, there's mention of the Virat Rupa. That's the significance of the placement of this verse in the third chapter, first canto. As Paramatma or Supersoul, the Lord is within each and every material form, even within the atoms. But the outward material form is but an imagination, both for the Lord and for the living being. So this is an important point. Our form is also imaginary, our material form. The Krishna is the soul of the universe. Sometimes he's given that name, the soul of the universe. So we can conceive that sometimes that name is given to Kshiradakshaya Vishnu or Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, the soul of the universe. So the universe is material, and the life force within that universe is Lord Vishnu. So similarly with us, this body is material, and the life force, the soul within, is the self, spirit. So just as this body of ours is a kind of imagination, it's not real, it's temporary. And in some ways, it is the self in lower consciousness. In fact, the word Atma is used for this Atman, the soul, and also the body is called Atma in different places. Because in ordinary dealings, in ordinary consciousness, we think, well, this is me, this is who I am, and we relate to each other in that way. So there's kind of a sense where the body is the person, but it's really not. It's an illusory or imaginary understanding of who the self is. So then more of this purport. The present forms of the conditioned souls are also not factual. The conclusion is that the material conception of the Lord, of the body of the Lord as Virat, is imaginary. Both the Lord and the living beings are living spirits and have original bodies. So this idea that the universal form is a kind of meditation is for the neophytes. He'll probably give some different reasons for that. He says that neophytes means they can't see spirit. In fact, there are some purports where he describes, I might read them, that it's similar to deity worship, worshiping meditation on the Virat Rupa. In fact, it almost seems like he equates the two, the universal form and the deity. But we know they're not exactly the same, because we think the deity is actually Krishna, whereas the universal form is a kind of meditation, imagination. But there is a sense, because they're both made of material, and because you can't see God, we can't see God with our present material senses, we can see the universe, and we can think the universe is, in a sense, a representation of God. So we're given all kinds of clues how to meditate on that and see Krishna there. And Prabhupada gives the example that, just like sometimes you'll see someone driving a car and you'll say, well, there's so-and-so. He says the president. So you see the president's car go by and you say, oh, there's the president. You haven't seen the president. He's behind tinted glass. But you say, oh, there's the president, because you know. When I was living in Washington, that would happen sometimes. We were down working on Rath Yatra, the National Mall. So the president or just some big shot would come by, and he'd have a cars, sirens going, and motorcycles, a big limousine would come by, and you'd know, well, there goes the president or some big shot politician. So all you saw was the car. Couldn't see inside. So we can't see inside the universe. We don't see Krishna. Antar bahira vastitam, Kunti Devi says. Alakshya sarva bhutanam, antar bahira vastitam. She says to Krishna, you're everywhere. You're inside everything, and you're also outside everything. But alakshya sarva bhutanam, the living entities in this world, they don't see you. So we can't see Krishna the present time. So he allows us to see him, and he reveals us how to do it in the Bhagavatam, in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, if you look at this, think of me. If you look at this, think of me. All different aspects of the material world. And this, as it relates to our philosophy of Chintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, we can also use this, of course. We have to move about in the material energy. And when we see splendorous things, just as Krishna does in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, they're just a spark of my splendor. So when we see them, we're supposed to be trained, but they remind us of Krishna. There are a few things about that. Let me read something here. The Lord, being omnipotent, can offer his association by his inconceivable potencies. So even this material world is a kind of association with God. Some people, of course, they take that too far. And they think this is God, the universe is God. There's nothing beyond it. Material nature is God. But it is the energy of God, so we're always associating with God. It's Maya to think we're not in God's presence. That's the illusion that we find ourselves in. So Prabhupada goes on, thus persons who are unable to pin their faith on the personal feature of the Absolute are given a chance to associate with his Virat Rupa, or the cosmic impersonal feature of the Lord. So this is another description of it. And Prabhupada includes among the neophytes the impersonalists. They can't accept this personal form of God. So think of God in some kind of impersonal way, give some form to this universe, but think of all the power of the universe. Get that kind of conception of God. He goes on, the cosmic impersonal feature of the Lord is a feature of his unlimited potencies. So the potent and potencies are identical. Or since the potent and potencies are identical, even the conception of his impersonal cosmic feature helps the conditioned soul to associate with the Lord indirectly and thus gradually rise to the stage of personal contact. We can find many places in the Bhagavatam where the oneness of everything is emphasized. I notice this especially in the teachings of Jad Bharat, when he's talking to King Rahugana. He emphasizes this oneness a lot. So we know there is certainly a oneness. Everything is one. Sarvam Kalavidam Brahma. That's true. It's there in the Vedas. Everything is one. In a sense, everything is Krishna. There are places where Prabhupada says that. Everything is Krishna, and Krishna himself says it. Maya Tatamidam Sarvam. I pervade everything. So there is certainly a oneness. So here Prabhupada is saying that oneness, an impersonalist who meditates on the material energy as God, gets some benefit, because in a sense it is God. We know it's not completely God, but in a sense it is. So there's some benefit to that. That's the mercy of Krishna through his potencies. So this, go on with this purport. This is from the second canto, first chapter. Maharaj Pariksit was already directly connected with the personal feature of Lord Krishna. So then here Prabhupada relates it to Maharaj Pariksit. I'll read something else about him too also in relation to this. Maharaj Pariksit was already directly connected with the personal feature of Lord Sri Krishna, and as such he had no need to inquire from Shukadeva Goswami about where and how to apply the mind in the impersonal Virat Rupa of the Lord. But he inquired after the detailed description of the matter for the benefit of others who are unable to conceive the transcendental personal feature of the Lord as the form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. The Prabhupada says the same thing about Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. Of course, the whole Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is more or less pretending to be an illusion so that Krishna can instruct him. So in the 11th chapter, also Prabhupada makes this point, that Arjuna wasn't really asking to see this for his own sake. He was asking to see the universal form for the sake of others. So that people, because other people may think, oh, Krishna was just an ordinary person. But when he showed his universal form, then that's a little more proof to the materialist who has no spiritual vision. And it's also, it's probably to say, it's a challenge to atheists, and it's also a challenge to impostors, that if they want to claim to be God, then we say, show the universal form. So here, Maharaj Pariksit is said to be doing this for the sake of others. So Prabhupada mentions something else about Maharaj Parikshit in regard to his seeing the universal form. And this is from the fifth canto. Maharaj Parikshit had already been advised by his spiritual master Shukadeva Goswami to think of the universal form of the Lord. And therefore, following the advice of his spiritual master, he continuously thought of that form. So he's being instructed. What I just read was from the first chapter of the second canto. So that's where Shukadeva Goswami begins his instructions. And he begins his instructions by talking about this. He's telling his disciple, Shukadeva Goswami, you should meditate on the universal form of the Lord. This is how you do it. This is called the first step in God realization. So here Prabhupada is saying that so Maharaj Parikshit did that. He already had some relationship with the personal form of the Lord, but his spiritual master told him to meditate on this form, so he did it. So you would think, well, was he telling him to go backwards here? What's going on? Why should he be doing this? So Prabhupada elaborates on this. The universal form is certainly material, but because everything is an expansion of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, ultimately nothing is material. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit's mind was saturated with spiritual consciousness. So it's a question of his vision. Maharaj Parikshit was thinking of the universal form of the, when Maharaj Parikshit was thinking of the universal form of the Lord, his mind was certainly situated on the transcendental platform. Therefore, although he might not have had any reason to be concerned with detailed information of the universe, he was thinking of it in relation with the relationship with the Supreme Lord, and therefore such geographical knowledge was not material but transcendental. I like this term, geographical knowledge. So thinking about the universe, thinking of geography, you'd think, why is it necessary? This is some kind of lower meditation. But Prabhupada says here, no, it was transcendental because he understood that this is the energy of the Lord. When he was seeing it, meditating on it, he was always thinking that this is a form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was thinking of Krishna. So, of course, in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, we have the universal form, the whole chapter. You may remember in the Lilamrita, when Prabhupada was a young boy, he would recite Bhagavad Gita, and he particularly liked reciting this 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So it's quite a wonderful display, of course. It's somewhat different from the other chapters in the Bhagavad Gita. It's a very, you can think of it in terms of worship of Krishna and worship of Lord Vishnu, the majesty. So in that chapter, you certainly see the majesty of God displayed. Of course, this is Krishna's inferior energy. So we get an idea. This is inferior energy is so mind-blowing. What to speak of the personal feature of God. So let's read a little something. Some of the purports. Prabhupada has some interesting purports in this chapter. So the first, this verse where he says, Divyam dadami te chakshu. Divyam dadami. I give you divyam chakshu. I am giving you transcendental eyes or divine eyes. That's the translation Prabhupada uses there. Divine eyes. You cannot see me with your present eyes. First, Krishna tells him, basically, I'm going to show you this, these things, because Arjuna has asked him. Then Krishna says, okay, I'm going to show you, but you can't see with your present eyes. I'm going to have to give you special eyes to see this. So Prabhupada says here, to see the universal form of Krishna, Arjuna is told not to change his mind, but his vision. The universal form of Krishna is not very important. That will be clear in subsequent verses. Yet because Arjuna wanted to see it, the Lord gives him the particular vision required to see that universal form. And then in text 48, Krishna says, O best of the Kuru warriors, no one before you has ever seen this universal form of mine. For neither by studying the Vedas, nor by performing sacrifices, nor by charity, nor by pious activities, nor by severe penances, can I be seen in this form in the material world. So this, of course, raises the question, well, it seems like people have seen it because Vamanadeva is showing it right here. So one way to look at this is that Krishna shows different forms at different times because the universe is practically unlimited. can show all the different aspects of it and how much can be seen. So this particular form, Krishna can display it in different ways. There's also a challenge to this that people sometimes make. Well, what about Duryodhan? Because Krishna, in the Mahabharata, Krishna goes to the Kurus and he's trying to negotiate, trying to stop the war. So he's there on behalf of the Pandavas, telling Duryodhan, you know, we don't need to fight, let's resolve this. And Duryodhan is obstinate, he's not going to change his mind. And there it said that Krishna showed a universal form for Duryodhan. But the Acharyas say he must have shown a partial universal form in that case. And the one that Arjuna is being shown here is a different one, more expansive, fuller display of Krishna's universal form. But it seems like the point in this verse is that you can't see it, actually, as the verse says, by performing sacrifices, pious activities, penances, and so on. Not by your own strength can you see it. You can see it if I let you see it. If I give you divine eyes, then you can see it. So, well, let me more about this divine vision. It says in the purport, the divine vision in this connection should be clearly understood. Who can have divine vision? Divine means godly. Unless one attains the status of divinity as a demigod, he cannot have divine vision. So here again we get this idea, this word divine. What does it mean exactly? Does it mean transcendental? Well, here it's being referred to, it's being used in the context of the demigods. The demigods are divine, devas. The status of a demigod, it says here. And what is a demigod? It is stated in the Vedic scriptures that those who are devotees of Lord Vishnu are demigods. Vishnu Bhakta Smrita Deva. Those who are atheistic, who do not believe in Vishnu, or who recognize only the impersonal part of Krishna as the Supreme, cannot have the divine vision. So later in the purport, those who are impersonalists are also imagining that they are seeing the universal form of the Lord. So this is apparently a kind of meditation, but Prabhupada says they're not really seeing the universal form. But from Bhagavad Gita we understand that the impersonalists are not devotees, therefore they are unable to see the universal form of the Lord. So they may be seeing something, they may have some conception, but because, as this is Krishna's pointing out and Prabhupada is pointing out repeatedly in these purports, you have to have divine eyes given by Krishna. Now there's in the this 11th chapter, Prabhupada gives a lot of different reasons why Krishna is showing the universal form. So one of the reasons is it has to do with his, of course, it's all about his relationship with Krishna, but especially because, with Arjuna, but it's all especially because Arjuna, we know throughout the Bhagavad Gita, he doesn't want to fight, really. Even in the Mahabharata, after the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has to remind Arjuna once or twice again that you have to fight. So Arjuna was really hesitant to do this. He really didn't want to do it. So one reason that Krishna is showing the universal form is to show that you're not killing anybody, Arjuna. Don't worry about it. They're already dead. You can see them here. You look at my universal form. Here I am devouring them, swallowing them, all of these armies. That's part of the vision of the universal form. The universal form is just devouring armies. So you don't have to think, Arjuna, with your little bow and arrow, that you're killing anyone, because I'm the one who's actually doing it. So I won't go on and on. There's a lot to be said about the universal form, but just one last point I wanted to make is that there's another time when the universal form was displayed. And that was by Lord Chaitanya. One day, Lord Chaitanya, Advaita Acharya was in ecstasy and he fainted. He was dancing in kirtan and he fainted and he was in ecstasy and Lord Chaitanya wasn't there, but he heard about it, so he went there. This is described in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's just referred to in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada mentions it. In fact, there's a verse that says that Advaita saw the universal form. But in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's described this Leela. So Lord Chaitanya went there to see Advaita Acharya when he was in ecstasy, and he brought him into he recovered him somehow, brought him back to external consciousness, And he brought him into a room by himself, just the two of them. And he asked him, well, what do you want? You want me? What can I do for you? All right, Lord Chaitanya asked, what can I do for you? And Advaita said, I want to see your universal form. So he said, I want to see that form that you showed Krishna. That's what he said to him. As Krishna you showed to Arjuna. I want to see that form. So it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, or Chaitanya Bhagavat, that Lord Chaitanya showed the universal form to Advaita Acharya. So even the devotees, maybe you can say it's a kind of curiosity. But again, we could say that Advaita Acharya was also showing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we know that the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, even though Lord Chaitanya was the Channa avatar, hidden avatar, the devotees were enthusiastic about, they wanted it to be spread, that people should know that Krishna, that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself appearing in this form. So I'll stop here. Let me just read the first verse again. Translation. Lord Brahma and all the predominating deities of the various planetary systems began to worship Lord Vamanadeva, their supreme master, who had reduced himself from his all-pervading form to his original form. They collected all the ingredients and paraphernalia for this worship. Any questions? Comments? I thought it was interesting in the purport where Prabhupada says, according to the capacity of the devotee, the Lord assumes various forms so that the devotee can handle him. So naturally you think, well, maybe Prabhupada was thinking of deity at the same time as he was saying, talking about the avatars. Because a deity, of course, is also an avatar. The archa avatar. The incarnation of the Lord for worship. So there are places where Prabhupada talks about, you know, just like you can have a Govardhan Shila. My wife does that. We have a Govardhan Shila now. Someone gave her last year in Vrindavan. So she carries it in a little pouch. Devotees do that. You can carry them around your neck. That's authorized Govardhan worship. So in the form you can handle, in the form of a stone from Govardhan, that's a form of the Lord also. Madam Mohanpur?
When Krishna told Arjuna...
Oh, someone didn't turn their phone on.
He mentioned, I'll give you divine eyes so you can see it. Did other people see the universal form at that time too?
Actually, first Prabhupada says that only Arjuna could see this, but then it comes up later that the devas were also seeing it, the higher beings were also seeing it. So Prabhupada says, it seems here that Krishna also gave them the vision, not only Arjuna, but those who were higher, they were given the vision also to see it.
So when we read, you know, the Bhagavad Gita or the first chapter, the second canto, the first steps in God realization, as we're reading these verses, are we also seeing it just by reading the verses and having faith in the words?
Yeah, we're seeing by hearing. Of course, it's not quite exactly the same thing. But according to our, I suppose, depth of realization is enough. But still, we see it even in Advaita Acharya. You could say, well, he could see it, but he wanted to see Krishna display it. So they're seeing and they're seeing. Not quite exactly the same. Now, I was thinking also in the context of who can see. Well, even in this pastime, didn't it say that the demons could see Lord Vamanadeva and they were running from him or something? So sometimes that happens too. The followers of Bali Maharaj, they were able to see. It seems like everyone who was present there at that time, they saw this universal form. The devas saw the foot coming up through, piercing the covering of the universe. They were lamenting.
So the Acharya's priests and followers, they were lamenting. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
We're finished.
Yeah. And didn't he say that you could see anything that you wanted to see in it? You know, you can...
Yeah. Everything you wanted, because everything was there. So it does seem to indicate that Krishna fulfilled your desire. If you wanted to see something, you could see it there. Pundarik Prabhu, you wanted to say something?
Worship the universal form, he said, how, where we'll get the cloth to dress
Yeah, he made this point in lectures often. You can't worship the universal form, you worship the deity, because how could you dress the universal form and take all the cloth in the world and make the dhoti?
Said there were many reasons why Krishna showed a universal form. One of the reasons wasn't that in the future, if anybody claimed to be God, that one of the
criteria was to show that was one of the reasons.
One time I used that lie and I was preaching to a Guru Maharaj's disciple. So I said, so can he show me the universal form? And he said, you're not qualified to see it. So he defeated me.
So you could say, well, give me divine eyes, then I'll be able to see it. All right, we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.